welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 4, episode 2. I'm Thomas Parker, joined by Thomas Coburn and producer Paolo Gismondi. Coburn, it's been a while, but we are back. What's going on, man?
Not too much. I guess we took an early summer vacation. It was a whole 2 weeks. I didn't know. We had to do an episode this week. Thank God, you know, it was the biggest news day in NFL history, so we have stuff to talk about. But I don't know. This episode was going to look rough until all this news dropped, so we're lucky.
Yeah, I did an episode of the Catch the Blitz show Tuesday morning, and we talked about Calvin Ridley and Amari Cooper. Like, it was, you know what, they were stories. It was nice to talk about. But as soon as we finished recording, Aaron Rodgers staying. Russell Wilson traded out of nowhere. Yesterday, Carson Wentz got traded. There's more quarterbacks that look like they can go any second. So there's so much that is happening. There's so much that's happened. A lot to discuss today. I'm pretty pumped to get into it. But before, how have you been doing all that? How's, you know, it's been 2 weeks. I haven't spoken to you since, I mean, we only speak.
Well, that's a big lie. Yeah. So the 2 weeks has been great. I mean, I'll ask you too. We all know the answer here. How has your 2 weeks been? You've done some podcasts in the meantime, so.
Yeah, I've just been outstanding, you know.
There you go.
I've missed this. I missed the spread picks, all that, but you know what? The show doesn't stop when the season ends. We got, like I said, a lot to unpack today. But we'll start with our buddy Aaron Rodgers over there. He dragged the saga along for quite a bit. But in the end, he stays in Green Bay. It wasn't a surprise to me. I know a lot of people were pushing the Denver narrative. How are you feeling about that whole thing?
I don't know. I feel like everybody at the end of the season, after that loss, I think it was everyone was like, he's gone. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as nothing happened, you didn't really hear anything. I think Denver, like you said, was popular, but I feel like most people kind of were like, okay, he's going to stay at least one more year. Now we know. Well, actually, here's the thing. Do we even know the contract details?
Well,
it's murky. Pat McAfee's messing up with everybody.
Every credible source. It was kind of weird when it came out. So obviously he spoke with Pat McAfee directly and told him he's staying. So Pat McAfee breaks the news on Twitter. Literally like 30 seconds after McAfee tweets that, Rappaport comes out with he's staying and it's 4 years, $200 million. So in that 30-second span, did Rappaport make a call when he found that he was staying and like ask what the contract is like? Because where did this number come from? Schefter was on it. Jay Glazer was on it. Like, all these guys are people that you believe, especially when they're all in it together. And McAfee continues to say that it's fake news. And Rodgers even tweeted himself that he hasn't signed anything.
So like you said, it's like if Pat McAfee doesn't exist and doesn't say anything, everyone's like 100%. It's $200 million. Yeah. Everybody's running with it. But I mean, the two most credible sources would probably be obviously Rodgers himself, who said, I didn't sign anything. And then Pat McAfee is...
spoken with
him. He's the most trusted source when it comes to everything. Nothing else, really. But obviously, Aaron Rodgers, like, they have that relationship. And basically, what he says is it's more credible than Schefter, Rappaport, Glazer. Like you said, it's like it doesn't really matter what they say. So to me, I'd be really surprised if that is his actual contract.
For me, it's just more so about the term. 4 years is a lot. What is he, 38? Yeah. Maybe he does want to pull Tom Brady and play that long, but it seems like he really flirted with retirement this time around. So that is interesting. McAfee also reported it was a team friendly deal, and $50 million a year isn't exactly team friendly in the NFL, especially if you look at the Packers cap situation. One, they had to move, you know, heaven and earth just to get them under the cap this year to sign Rodgers. And they restructured all their contracts so that, you know, 2 years from now, it's going to be an absolute disaster in Green Bay. They really have to hope that the cap's going up, because they're going to be paying guys like Aaron Jones and David Bakhtiari just stupid amounts of money for their position. So in the end, he stays. I've said it all along. I think he's foolish if he leaves. But then again, he couldn't just say, I'm staying, this is my contract. He has to drag the saga along one step more, keep us guessing on how much he's getting paid. It's just the Aaron Rodgers way. How else could he do it?
Okay, listen, I had a conversation with one of my friends about this. I have to say this. I get why Aaron Rodgers does this. Like,
you said one of my friends. Did we not have this conversation?
Oh, maybe I told you about the conversation I had with one of my friends. He knows who
there
he
you
is.
Go.
Okay, yes. So here's the thing. People, you know, the vaccine was huge. People like dragged him for that. But like his whole career, people have like, for some reason, the media has kind of attacked him a lot about like his family and like oh, he has a bad relationship with his family, which is like, to me, it's absurd reporting. It's like, that really doesn't matter. And it's like, he's never had the greatest relationship. So when he can kind of just toy with them a bit and mess with them, and no one knows what he's actually saying to the Packers. Everyone's just speculating that he is dragging it out. We don't know that weeks ago he said, hey, we're going to get something done. Don't worry about it. I'm back. No one knows what really happened. So, hey, I have no gripes with him toying with the media. I had to say that.
Fair enough. Hey, I mean, some players, not every NFL member, you know, player coach is like Mike McDaniel, that just understands the value of the media and just wants to chat with everyone. You know, I had a dream last night that Miami lost to Jacksonville in week one and 2 or 3 4 picks. That just came to me, and I just wanted to share that with you. And I was like devastated. Like, we're not going to make the playoffs. You know, you lose to Jacksonville, you can't make the playoffs. That's it. It's an easy game. Yeah, that's what I had a dream about last night.
You just couldn't go this episode with talking about the Dolphins. They fit nowhere in the plan for what we're going to talk about. They fit absolutely nowhere.
I want to give like my free agency picks for them and everything. But hey, okay, we'll move along now. Enough with Aaron Rodgers. We talked about him a ton over the last year. We'll get into Russell Wilson. Now, that shocked me. Like, really, really shocked me.
It shocked everybody. No one saw that coming.
I think a lot of people thought that maybe there's a chance that he would move. I thought that there was zero chance. Like, I was like, oh, Russell Wilson again. I thought there was a bigger chance last year, because last year it seemed like he was actually upset with the Seahawks. This year it seemed like, I want to stay. I like it in Seattle. I want to finish my career there.
I was similar to you, and similar to my thought process with Rodgers, I was out on him moving because it seemed like everything kind of died down. Mm-hmm. Although it didn't seem like there was a big commitment towards the Seahawks. It kind of felt like, oh, nothing's going to happen. And maybe they try to run it back again and, you know, make a run at that division. That's what I really thought was going to happen. All of a sudden he's in Denver. Now here's the biggest takeaway. I feel like that's the biggest buzzword in the media, takeaways. No one knows anything. Do you remember after the season, where does his wife want to go? New York. She wants to go to a big market. She's a star. Hey,
she's a star.
That's all. No. But that's all everybody was talking about. They were like, it's got to be a big city. And now he goes to Denver.
You don't so, like, maybe she's a skier.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd love to go to Denver. I don't know if
you
I
play in Denver.
Physically play there. I don't know if I'm built for
the
that
altitude.
Like, you know, some players just like, oh, you just can't do it in Denver. So hopefully Russell Wilson can zip that ball through that Denver air pretty good. My takeaway, there's that word. A year ago in the Rams, obviously this is famous. This is well known. Everyone across NFL circles knows that I predicted the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Schefter, Rapp, they're all talking about it. That was my takeaway when Stafford was traded. Initial immediate thought. I don't know why I'm sitting here right now with the Broncos, and I honestly could not tell you if they're going to win 8 games next year and miss the playoffs, or if they're going to win 12 games and win the division to make it to the Super Bowl. I have no idea. I feel a lot of us don't quite know how good this Broncos team is. At times, I kind of felt like it was almost overrated, talking about like, oh, they just need a quarterback and they're there. What are your thoughts on this trade? Because I don't know where they stand in a loaded AFC.
Yeah, I feel like you're in the majority of nobody knows, like it could go either way. I think this is 12-win team easily.
Really?
Easily. That offense, those wide receivers, people, like, they've had no one throwing to them. And I think there's the possibility that we look back after the season, it's like, that's like easily a top 5 wide receiver core. Easily. I think that can happen.
Yeah, I've always been such a big Jerry Jeudy believer. And I guess that his landing spot in the draft kind of didn't really help his career. Like, you know, we saw CeeDee Lamb's career just explode. Justin Jefferson became the number one option in weeks. You know, Jerry Jeudy, who I thought was honestly probably the best out of all of them. I was just so enamored with his route running ability and his ability to get separation and all that. I just thought he was such a clean wide receiver prospect. He's had drop issues. He has not popped off. I think he could be a big, big star with Russell Wilson. And I think a lot of us, and maybe this is me included in this group, are looking at Russ's last season too much in Seattle. But if you think of his body of work over his entire career, the narrative was often, okay, Russell, he's going to get you a 10-win season. He's going to get you a winning record. He's going to get you to the playoffs no matter what, no matter how poor his team around him is. Because at times, he carried that Seattle organization. Last year was a bad year. It was probably his worst team he's ever had. Plus, he hurt his finger. So maybe we can just sort of toss that aside and think now he's in a better situation. He's got a great offensive line. He's got a good young defense. But, and this is where I'm really struggling, I think the Chargers are a really good team. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. To me, that division still goes through Kansas City. As long as you have Mahomes, I'm picking the Chiefs to win. I know you probably disagree with that now. The Raiders are, you know, they can be pesky. Like, how are you going to win that division?
Well, you can lose a division with 12 wins.
Yeah, probably.
It's possible. It's possible. I think there's a good chance that they're the number one wild card seed by like two games, let's say. Like, it's pretty locked in place. Wow. I think you see, like, well, you kind of saw it this year with the NFC West. The Cardinals and Rams had a play. It's like one of them is going to make, like, they were both going to make it with, yeah, okay, go.
That's in the NFC, which is far, far weaker.
Can I dispel this myth right now?
No, it's not a myth. It's true.
It's
the NFC
myth.
I've never seen in my lifetime of watching the NFL two conferences this far apart in terms of skill. And, you know, when I was younger, it was always the AFC that was worse. The NFC was good. The NFC is atrocious.
Okay, you ready? Let's just look at the quarterbacks, because I thought this too. And that was my, especially after the Russell Wilson trade, it was like, oh my God, another star quarterback leaving the NFC to the AFC. Top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Six are in the AFC. That's not that lopsided.
So I'm going to guess your four are Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, and Stafford, of course.
And Matt Stafford. Now, okay, I have Lamar at 10. Now, that's controversial. Some people might put him lower. Some people might put him higher. Just outside the top 10, in my opinion, like let's say 11, 12, are Carr and Kirk Cousins.
Well, Carr's in the AFC.
Yeah. I'm saying Carr and Kirk Cousins.
Okay. Yeah.
So they still only have a one quarterback lead, let's say. And here's the thing. When you look at those quarterbacks, it's like, to me, what makes it significant is those 10 quarterbacks, the rest of the team matters in a sense of it's not that lopsided of a quarterback matchup where Stafford can beat Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of an overreaction. Now, if you want to go like depth of where like the Miamis, the Patriots of the world, those quality teams, the Colts, the Titans, fair. You got a point. But in terms of quarterbacks, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction.
I'll give you that point. But I think you exactly said the counterpoint. It's just the AFC is going to be a dogfight. Like you said, a team like Miami, they've had a winning record 2 years in a row. A team like New England, you got to think that they're going to get the 10 wins. Mac Jones is going to be better in year two. The Browns can be pesky if they improve. The Ravens should be back next year. The Steelers were a playoff team a year ago. Every team is good in the AFC, aside from a couple of your teams in the AFC South, like the Jaguars and the Texans, and then you got the Jets. Other than that, there's not a team that I don't think can make the playoffs. So it's just so crowded. Whereas in the NFC, you said Kyler's good and Dak's good. Let's be honest. The way both of those teams ended the season, is anyone picking them to win the Super Bowl next year? The Cowboys or the Cardinals? The Cowboys look like they're going to lose Amari Cooper. They're going to lose DeMarcus Lawrence. To me, it just feels like, okay, it's the Packers. It's the Rams. Maybe on a good day, the Cardinals and the Cowboys are in the mix. After that, it's like, we're going to talk about them in a second. Is Wentz taking the football team to the next level? No.
Well, I have an interesting take with that too. And then also, you know, you look back at this and in the AFC, there's going to be two or three teams that just nosedive that we didn't see coming. And then in the NFC, you'll see maybe Lance works out and it's like dynamite right from week one and it all even out in the end. But you're right. Right now, in terms of quality of teams, there's a big discrepancy between the AFC and NFC. But the quarterbacks, I think I'm right with that take.
Yeah, and I think that's fair as well. But I just like, to me, I'm going to struggle so much picking teams to even go to the playoffs in the AFC. And that's why I'm so intrigued by this Russell Wilson, because honestly, I don't know how it's going to work. But I do know that there's a lot of promise. Like if you look at his weapons, number one and what I'm most excited for is probably Javonte Williams even. And I know that's not a wide receiver, but just how they're going to use him now in the pass game and the run game. And I think it's just going to open so much for him. So I think I'm most intrigued by or most excited for those two matchups against the Chiefs, those two matchups against the Chargers. And I think even the Raiders, even though they're going to fall behind in the pack with those top three teams next year. I believe that, but I think they're going to make for some interesting games as well. Cause like I said, they can be pesky.
Yeah. Before we got a little sidetracked with the quarterback conversation, you said it. Russell Wilson, since Marshawn Lynch left, the Seattle's running game was just nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Alex Collins. He might be the worst running back in the league.
Hey,
there's nobody that gets 25 attempts and has 32 yards. No one's better than Alex Collins at averaging 1.5 yards a carry. Shout out to Alex Collins. We want to come on the show.
Can I give you a stat?
Go ahead.
You're forgetting about their glorious first round pick.
Right, of course.
Rashad Penny. Okay. The so best. He's going to bust for 4 years. But this season, I think from week 14 on, he was one or two in the league in yards per carry, yards per game, and rushing yards as a whole. He was dynamite. I call him fantasy playoff Penny. And now he's a free agent. And maybe he signs in Denver. Maybe Russ says, I want him. I want him and Javonte as a 1-2 punch. I don't know.
Melvin Gordon, yeah, you're right.
He hasn't had the help. The O-line's been a disaster. I remember they tried to do they traded for Dwayne Brown at left tackle. They traded everything they did, it just did not help him. The Jamal Adams trade, disaster. So we'll see.
The fact that they got the same amount of firsts, or they traded the same amount of firsts, were involved for Jamal Adams and Russell Wilson will never cease to amaze me. Also, the Noah Fant part of the trade is the most absurd thing of all time.
That counts as two first round picks. Noah Fant.
Yeah. Noah Fant's a guy that you can build an organization around. So it's good that Seattle got him. Noah Fant, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. It's a nice core. Who's throwing?
If I was Seattle, I would have traded for the Broncos wide receiver that played quarterback for one game. I can't remember his name right now.
I remember you picked him up in fantasy and got negative points.
Did you think that was any bit of a good idea?
I thought it was a great idea. What was his name?
It was a Taysom Hill culture that brought you to do that and start him at wide receiver. I can see Kendall Hinton. Hinton is his name. That's who the Seahawks should have traded for. Not Drew Locke. That would have made it a fair trade.
Do you even know if he's on the Broncos still?
I know last year he was on the Broncos. I don't know if he's a free agent now or what's going on with him, but last season he was. All right, who do we have up next? Is it Carson Wentz?
It's Carson Wentz time.
All right, so I was – the Russ news completely shocked me. The Carson Wentz news, not as bad, just because the Russ news opened my eyes to all right, it's happening. All this stuff's just going down now. We're going to get trades every day for the next 2 weeks. But the Carson Wentz news before, I was like, what are the Colts doing? Because they seem to be begging for this upgrade. Other than Russell Wilson, who is now traded, show me the upgrade on Carson Wentz that Indy's going to get.
Deshaun Watson, maybe they trade him in division.
Yeah, that'd be something smart that the Texans would probably do. Is it going to be Jameis Winston? Is it going to be Jimmy Garoppolo? Because both are interesting options. I don't know if it makes the Colts better.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. We can talk about the Colts, and yeah, it looks like, I feel like it's going to be Jimmy G there. And I guess that's a decent option. You know, you have a terrific running game. They're probably the most similar to San Francisco, anybody else in the league. They got that similar style, run the ball, amazing offensive line. They had some success with Jimmy. We've seen Jimmy's most likely not going to ever carry anybody to a Super Bowl, but it is what it is. To me, I have the unpopular take of, I love the move for Washington.
I've...
You give two-thirds. Now, okay, not one-third, but two-thirds. Fair. And I think one of them can turn into a second, I believe, if he plays 70% of the games. There's some thing like that.
Yeah.
I think Washington got better.
No, they did. And if you look at them the last two seasons, they won 7 games twice. And that was with a carousel of Alex Smith and whoever else they used at quarterback that first year when they made the playoffs. And the last year was Taylor Heineke. Carson Wentz, whether you, you know, don't think he's good or don't like him, he is a clear-cut upgrade on both of those quarterbacks. Clear-cut. And yeah, he has his bad days and his drawbacks. But yes, they did get better. And now they have a quarterback that can push them forward a little bit. And they have this good defense to build on. And maybe that's enough to get into the playoffs. I just feel like, you know, they're expecting a little more, you know?
It's fair. I can understand the disappointment if you are a fan of the Commanders. That's the first time I think I've ever used that word on this show.
That's actually wrong. We did a whole episode.
Well, like in this, aside from that, talking about them as a team, because I like the Washington football team. Anyways, you use 2/3. So, I mean, if I'm a Washington fan, I think if they draft a quarterback, I love this plan. You draft a quarterback, there's no quarterback that if they are going to work out, chances are they're not going to be like day one ready. This is everything that's being said. So let's say you draft Malik Willis or whoever. It doesn't matter to me. You have Wentz. Your team makes the playoffs. Like that quarterback gets to sit behind not just like some dumpster fire, which most of the times it feels like it is, but maybe it's a situation with what happened with Mahomes. Like he sat behind a good team. He watched the team make the playoffs. Now, I think Washington can make the playoffs with Wentz. The Colts were one game away. If they don't completely ruin everything against the Jags that last week of the season, Carson Wentz is returning as a Colts starter. I like the move. You spend 2/3. Don't give up. Maybe you give up a second in the end, but maybe you make the playoffs. You draft a rookie. You let him sit. Good experience. And then you get rid of Wentz after 1 or 2 years. I think it's a good plan.
Yeah, I agree with you in the sense that I think it's a good move. I think that they got better. If you look at where Washington's offense, and like we know how good their defense is already. I know it had a bit of a rough year last year, but we know that they're capable of being an elite, elite defense. Offensively, a year ago that they had a top five, top 10 offensive line. Wide receiver position, you got Terry McLaurin. Of course, he's a star and he's never had a good quarterback. So maybe this can, you know, be his breakthrough even more. Curtis Samuel, who they signed and they just didn't get to use him last year. He had this lingering groin injury. I was extremely, extremely excited when they signed him because I think he's special. He's a Deebo Samuel type talent in terms of how he can be utilized. I'm not saying he's Deebo and he's as good, but he has that X factor ability where you can move him all over the field and he can
do some
cool things. Exactly. You have Antonio Gibson in the backfield, who's an exciting young player. Carson Wentz, yes, he's an upgrade. Yes, I think he can go to the playoffs. I think he's captain what he can do. There were some complaints in Indy about its work ethic and stuff like that. And I think that's what ultimately led to them moving on from him. I don't just think it was that one game against the Jaguars. I think it was, you know, a ton of events that just built and built and built up. And this is what they decided was best for the organization. If I'm a Washington fan, I'm just telling, you know, Coach Ronald, you know, listen, you promised me whales. These are worms, because I was ready with the Russell Wilson Commanders jersey, and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's tough if you're a Washington fan, but I don't know. Your team was in limbo, kind of. It feels like, you know, not bad enough to tank, but not good enough to compete. You get Wentz, it kind of bridges the gap. It's interesting. I mean, like the thing is, like Jameis is more interesting. He's just way more interesting of a player if you're going to get one of them. But
yeah.
You got Wentz. You didn't give up too much. I don't think you can. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how anybody can think it's that bad of a deal. That's just
me. Yeah, it's a low risk move. So, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's not going to cripple your franchise. Let's try it out. And who knows? The Eagles looked pretty good with them. They won the division a couple times. He's got a great record in that division. And Hayes, now maybe he's even more motivated. He's back in that NFC East and the Colts. I just think Jimmy Garoppolo would be the perfect fit, like you said. I think he's a great leader and he knows how to sort of navigate that system. And I think he could, I mean, I know you hate the Titans. You just absolutely despise the Titans. So what quarterback do they have to sign for them to win that division next year?
I think they could win it. They could win it with Jimmy.
Yeah. I'm in that same boat.
They could do it.
Jimmy or Tannehill, who do you think's better?
Oh, Tannehill's better.
Yeah, I'd slightly lean Tannehill. Better. I think he's got a little bit more athleticism too, but I don't.
49ers have Tannehill. They probably win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't agree with that. No.
Fair.
49ers. I don't think that they lost because of Jimmy.
The 49ers?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like
the 49ers lost because of Jimmy.
Okay, that's we'll move on from. Come on. A couple quarterbacks left. I believe we wanted to talk about Deshaun today. Am I right in that?
When is there an episode that we don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson?
For a while, I got real sick of him when it looked like he was going to get traded to Miami. But yeah,
now you're all in. Yeah.
All right, where's this guy going to go? I'll give you my take. I think he's going to the Panthers.
That's interesting. Continue.
That's the one trade destination. If you look at all the teams that were in, that were quote in on him last year, all of them have quarterbacks now, except for the Carolina Panthers. It was the Dolphins, the Jets, the 49ers, the Bears. The Panthers are the one team that have been in this race from the beginning. Another team I'd sort of look out for is the Eagles. But I just think, like, you can only say Jalen Hurts is our quarterback this year. Like, they've said it so many times, it would just look foolish now if he's not.
Well, I mean, if they got Watson, no one would even care. But I disagree. I think the only team he's going to end up on is Pittsburgh. I don't care that it's in the AFC.
I don't know. I don't even know if they're interested in him.
Oh, I think they're interested.
Like, I think
you're interested in Deshaun Watson. Every team is, unless you have, you know, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league.
But how good do you think Deshaun Watson down? Is? Why has it died down so much? Like,
because people got bored of the story.
Is it the suspension? Because now it just feels like the narrative has almost become who is going to trade for him, because it doesn't even sound like anyone's calling. Like, I know tomorrow there's this big legal, like, it sounds like it could be settled tomorrow and all in the rear, but a suspension is still probably going to come.
You got to wait. Once the legal issues get out of the way,
I think he'll be traded in 45 minutes.
I think that's what's going to happen. And I think a trade works well with Pittsburgh, because if you're Houston, yeah, if you obviously you're going to want first round picks, but if you want like a, you know, a stud player, they have a couple that they could offer in that trade. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, who's Carolina? Like, they don't want McCaffrey.
No, but you just offer a ton of picks. And listen, Carolina's not a great team. Like, to me, a lot of it matters when these picks are going to be. And if you get that Carolina first this year, you're picking, Houston's picking third, and now you're picking sixth too. So that's pretty interesting. To me, that's enticing.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's out of your conference. You only have to play him once every 4 years. And now Carolina gets a guy that can come in and, you know, we've both talked about how much we love Carolina's defense. The offensive line needs a lot of work. Yeah, but, you know, Watson's proved that he can win with a bad O-line. You got DJ Moore. You got Robbie Anderson. You got Terrace Marshall Jr. McCaffrey, when he's healthy. I mean, that's sort of a coin flip at this point.
Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah. Shout out to Chuba Hubbard. He's Canadian. We should have him on the show. But, like, that is a destination that makes sense. And I talked about how much, and I'll say this again, I know you disagree with it, how much the NFC is terrible this year. That NFC South, if you get Deshaun Watson, you become -1,000 favorites to win it, because it's a bad division.
It is. I mean, I don't know. I just... Also, Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, correct?
Yeah.
So Flores is now in Pittsburgh. We know there was that heavy connection there. It's the only reason he was ever rumored to Miami. I just think it makes too much sense to go to Pittsburgh. And here's the thing. If Watson knows that Pittsburgh's involved, and he will know if they are, and it's like, we have a trade with Carolina, and let's say Pittsburgh's super close, he can just be like, no, I'm not going. And then what are you going to do? Then you're going to trade him to Pittsburgh. You might as well get something for him. It's still going to be a ton, but that's my take.
I was on the Pittsburgh train, not a year ago, but like when the regular season started, and, you know, it sort of felt like, okay, he's not going to go before the trade deadline. So where's he going to go next year? I was pushing Pittsburgh, because I do think, like, with him, that would be scary, that team. Because if you look at how they got to the playoffs this year, with TJ Watt, you know, 23 sacks or whatever he got, that would be special. Like, you'd have a top offense and maybe the best defense in the league.
The AFC becomes unfair then, like, completely.
And now you're agreeing with me.
Now I'm on board. If Deshaun Watson gets traded somewhere in the AFC, like I think he will, then they need to take the extra spot from the NFC, give it to the AFC, and then that last team they play in the NFC playoffs.
Oh, I like that idea. Maybe they should I'm going to start taking you seriously.
Actually, hey, that's a good idea. Why doesn't it? No, not before the season, but I think
the last two spots just become
whoever's the best. The last two spots are the best teams.
And that way we wouldn't have the Eagles in the playoffs this year. They just would never do it. It makes conferences pointless. Plus conferences, you're playing the same teams mostly. Like the NFC teams, they don't really play the AFC teams and all that. I don't know. It's an interesting idea though.
God forbid we made the football even more interesting. Can't have that.
It's already too scripted. I mean, the last game of the regular season was almost a tie.
Yeah. Like,
they can't raise any more eyebrows, draw any more attention to it. But maybe it's just wishful thinking for me. I hope Watson's in the NFC. I project Watson to be a quarterback in the NFC for the Carolina Panthers. And maybe even your Lions are a dark horse. What do you think about that? Or no, because he can't block.
He can't. Yeah, he's not a good run blocker. He's not going to fit on my team.
And that's what Dan Campbell cares about.
Biggest signing of the week, Josh Reynolds, 2 years, $12 million.
I love how that dropped right after the Rodgers news.
Yeah, that was the biggest news.
And then everyone forgot about, everyone stopped talking about the Rodgers news.
Right, of course, to talk about Josh Reynolds.
So selfish of Josh Reynolds to do that. Make it all about him.
I like the deal, to be honest with you.
Does he also have a Craig Reynolds?
Yeah, we do. But
the running back, right?
Yeah, but he's not on, it's he's like
a practice squad player, but he played a little bit this year.
He's no star. Put it that way.
I think he has a little bit of potential under Campbell.
Anybody can run behind that offensive line.
I talked about the Dolphins and brought them up and got a little bit of criticism for making everything about them. So before we end the show, I think it's only fair if we talk a little bit about the Lions. Free agencies next week. What moves are they making? What's the record going to be next year? And when are you moving on from Jared Goff?
That's a lot of questions. When are we moving on?
It's three questions.
When are we moving on from Jared Goff? We move on from Jared Goff in 2 years.
Two more years of Goff.
Including this one, yeah.
Okay.
Free agency. What was the question? What I want to happen or what I think will happen?
Yeah, who are you guys targeting? Do you have a lot of money? I'm not well-versed. I'm not in the Lion verse. So.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make any huge splash.
Okay.
Although if they do... If somehow we got like a Amari Cooper or like Allen Robinson, playoffs. Thank you.
Yeah.
Put that out there right now, playoffs. But okay. I think they're going to be quiet in free agency. Nothing's going to happen. And then what was the last question? They're going to do nothing in free agency.
Oh, what's the record going to be next year?
How many games they play?
17.
10 and 7. No. 9 and 8.
No, come on.
No, you're right. They're going to, they'll have...
You're right. 11 and 6, especially in that garbage NFC.
No. They're going to go 8 and 9, and they're going to get the last wild card spot.
Meanwhile, Dolphins 13 and 4 missed the playoffs in the AFC.
I think the Lions can make the playoffs next year.
I mean, I think a lot of teams in the NFC can make the playoffs next year, just strictly the fact that there's not a lot of good ones, and it's going to be a dogfight. Like if you look back at even last season, Atlanta was in it to the very end. The Saints were in it. The Saints should have made it if it weren't for a Jimmy Garoppolo comeback. Shout out to him because he's not the reason the 49ers lost. I don't know. We'll see. Every year, every team starts 0-0. Everyone's got a chance, except for the Dolphins, who will be starting 0-1 after they lost to the Jaguars in my dream last night and 2 or 3 picks. But I think that's going to do it. And we'll see you maybe next week, maybe in 2 weeks.
Well, next week will be right before free agency, correct?
It'll be during free agency.
Okay, we'll do some. We'll do some. There'll be some stuff to talk about. Who knows? Next week, maybe we'll do a 2-hour episode. Next week, we have a guest.
Noah Fant, Alex Collins.
Alex Collins.
And Chuba's coming on in the back hour. That's the show today, guys. Yeah. You made it to the end. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Take it easy.